round. It's one of those nights. Don't know where this is going to go. But before you know it, we'll be somewhere else. And wherever you go, there you are. So welcome to the Hump Day Show. Wednesday night, may you all be getting humped. And like I said before, take video, send it into the show email, and I will watch your performance, and we will give you tips, tricks, and ratings on a scale from 1 to 10. And we will use decimals as well, because we need to get precise. Tonight's show is going to be a good one, though. It might be a little short because the band is swinging by. We have to do a little bit of another little tune-up before the weekend hits, and we have another show on Saturday up in Poughkeepsie. That's where we will be. It's been a long time since we played in Poughkeepsie. Long time. But that's where we're going. And welcome, everybody. Black Conservative Patriot is going to be on the show tonight. That's going to be a fun one. We got lots to talk about, things that he's been covering over the course of the last week. Also, Jim Lee, he was supposed to be on Friday to talk about geoengineering, weather manipulation, and the like. Well, guess what? The weather got in the way of things. Jim actually lives in South Carolina, somewhere right along where the epicenter of this storm, Hurricane Florence, is going to hit. So, of course, safety comes first, and we've been going back and forth, and we're just going to push that back until he and his family are out of harm's way and try not to put too much on their plate right now. So imagine that. So we'll have Jim Lee coming back soon, get you updates on that as soon as I can get you some. And from there, the week continues. Hey, I thought this was good since it's hump day. Just going to put this on out there. Andrew Wardle, no wood, no problem. My bionic penis works just fine. There are no limits to the lengths men will go to have sex. This is true. This is true. An English man born without a penis lost his virginity at 45 after doctors created a bionic one. Andrew Wardle finally lost his V card with his girlfriend Fedra Fabian after getting his new member. And he had to endure a 10-hour procedure and a 10-day erection before making his first trip to Pound Town. It's been worth it, though. A 10-day erection. Oh, I feel like I've had those before. Doctors constructed the bionic member using skin from Andrew's arm and nerves from his legs, and says that it's even bigger than it's even bigger than he expected. Andrew was born without a phallus. 1 in 20 million births. One in 20 million births. And it wasn't until his 30s he discovered docs might be able to fashion him a schlong with a procedure dubbed a phalloplasty. Now, what I don't understand is, what about, you know, orgasm? I guess that's something that he's just going to have to put aside. I mean, if you have nerve endings there, maybe there'll be sensation, but I don't think he can't, there's no way he can have an orgasm. Well, at least the guy's got something to look forward to now. Now he's got the same problem we all have. And trust me, it is a problem. Some days I'm just like, I wish I was asexual. It'd be so much better. So much better, especially since if you're asexual, you're just like, I'm fine. I don't even really care. It's not like you're asexual, like, oh man, I wish I could have sex. I wish I wanted to have sex. Are you asexual, but you want to have sex? If you are asexual, but you wish you wanted to have sex, please get in touch with me. I want to talk to you on air. We can make up a pseudonym. Anything. We'll give you a moniker. So you just make up a name, we'll talk about it. That is very interesting. very interesting. I'd like to know about. In fact, I thought that we should actually send all of those first astronauts to go to Mars. I thought all those astronauts should definitely be asexual. That should be one of the qualifiers, you know? Because if not, you're going to Mars. It's been said by many people that the first astronauts to go to Mars, it's probably going to be a one-way trip. They're probably not going to come back. But they're doing this. They're taking this trip for the sake of humanity, for learning things for humanity. Well, you either have to be asexual, or you have to just, you know, have a private conversation with the person you're going with, and hopefully it's somebody of the opposite sex, unless you're both gay, and you say, hey, listen, do we know, or do we both understand what's about to happen? Are we cool with, you know, at least, you know, every once in a while? Yeah, I can deal with that. Okay, good, cool. But you can't get pregnant out there. That would not be good. So, I want somebody has had to have shot a load in space before. Somebody has had to have. Had to have. He's like, okay, I'm going to the bathroom, everybody. See you in a little bit. Astronaut goes to the back of the space station. You have to. You have to actually see that happen. You know? See, these are things that... This is why I cannot go to space. This is why I cannot do things that are important for human race in a scientific sense. Because I'll be put in a position where... It just wouldn't work out. All right, so let's move on. Good for that guy. Oh, AP News. AP News. The Associated Press. Tonight Show cancels Norm MacDonald after Me Too comments. Norm MacDonald, who is probably one of the funniest men on earth, was canceled from going on Jimmy Kimmel's show. Not Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon's show. What'd he say? Let's see here. In a statement, NBC said that it canceled Tuesday's appearance out of sensitivity to our audience. Oh. We just can't. No. We can't let Norm MacDonald come on. Our audience just can't take it. Please. Are you okay? Be sensitive. That's our audience, little fucking babies. Sensitivity. They're turning everybody into a nutcase. The former Saturday Night Live cast member told The Hollywood Reporter he was happy the Me Too movement had slowed down a little bit. MacDonald said that people used to receive a second chance, but now there's no forgiveness. MacDonald mentioned Louis C.K., who was accused of sexual misconduct, and Roseanne Barr, who was fired from her show in May. There are very few people, Me Too. What do they have to do with Roseanne? There are very few people that have gone through what they have, losing everything in a day. Of course, people will go, what about the victims? But you know what? Victims didn't have to go through that. Then in an interview, radio host Howard Stern on Wednesday morning, while explaining and apologizing for his remarks, MacDonald said, you have to have Down syndrome not to feel sorry. Not to feel sorry for the victims of sexual misconduct. And of course, that you probably have to apologize for that too. Oh, man. You know what it is about all this? I gotta say, it's just ridiculous. I mean, first of all, he's one of the funniest men on the planet. And just because the Me Too... I mean, the Me Too? What? Me Too was a great time? When that a frantic attempt? This frantic attempt to protect liberal institutions that were being decimated by the very same bad behavior that plays out on screen across the country. That was it. Me Too was an attempt to protect liberal institutions by turning a humanitarian crisis into a feminist cause. Meanwhile, on every screen, movie screen across the country, we have affairs and abuse and transactional sex and drugs and bribery and payoffs and you know, flawed characters, flawed heroes, praising the Tony Sopranos of our age and all that stuff, blackmail, making deals with the devil in exchange for success. What do you think goes on in Hollywood and all that? It's everybody making deals with the devil for success. Why do you think they all turned a blind eye to this shit? Bunch of bad actresses. That's it. And you know what they did? This is what good they did. They inspired waves. Waves of finger pointing on social media for people who ran out of ways of calling attention to themselves. That's what they did. This one brushed up against my ass in 1972. This one undressed me with his eyes in a frozen food section in 2003. That's what it turned into. Not minimizing and never denying that there is abuse and people who are victimized. Never, ever, ever. But this is what they do. This is what they do. They go and they reduce something to the most absurd, to where you have to believe everybody at a moment's notice and make sure that there is immediate judgment and execution. Judgment, everything, passed down. Judge, jury, executioner, right there on the spot. Right there on the spot. Of course, if the abuser matches your key demographic of people that you can't stand, that's for one. And the fallback for everybody is attacking men, whether they're liberal or not. So that's just what it comes down to. And that's what this was. And, you know, I was thinking about this Me Too as well, because Stormy Daniels was, you want to talk about how much integrity the Me Too movement has. And she was dubbed a Me Too hero as well, because she called out what? An abusive relationship? No, a consensual one. A consensual one that she accepted money to shut up about. And then she broke a contract and demanded more money. That's it. To what? To expose what? A consensual relationship now. That's what it is. Now we care about who people have consensual sex with. The liberals do. The very liberal people. Now we care about that. I was at Optimum Online today. I had to go to Cablevision, because I have so many problems over here at the studio, and I think I finally got to the problem with what happened with the internet. Not necessarily the dropouts and stuff, but I'm talking about the billing problems I've been having. There was a cross-up a couple of months ago, and we've been getting charged exuberant amounts of money for no reason. And I'm standing there, I'm going through some paperwork, I'm working this out with a guy, and he's leaving the office, coming back. And while he's absent for a couple of minutes at a time, I'm listening to the television that's on right there in the waiting room. And it's The View. Now, mind you, this office is manned by nothing but men. Okay, men at the counter. There's men online trying to get things fixed with their cable. There's men in the back working on, you know, they had just manning inventory of cable boxes and routers and all that stuff. And here is The View. The View. I'm like, first of all, why the fuck is this even on? And guess what? Those hags, those harridans are sitting there again with Stormy Daniels and her stupid lawyer. Again. They're rolling around in the mud with this woman again. And I'm sitting there thinking, and here's another one. You know, Norm MacDonald gets trashed for saying, thank God Me Too slowed down. Slowed down. That's all he had to say. And I'm looking at this one, and she's saying there, well, I don't obey. I'm not obeying NDAs anyway. Like she was happy about the way that she reneged on a contract, a perfectly legal contract. And of course, they went through all of these women were going through the Michael Cohen talking points, how this money was paid to directly influence the election. Right. Just like she paid for tit implants to directly influence her porn career. Not illegal, just something you're going to do. You're running for office? You might want to sign some NDAs to make sure that during the time being that you're running for office, you know that you can keep a clean nose on little personal things that happened before you ever wanted to run for political office. That's what this is all about. And she's up there as a Me Too for disobeying an NDA, to flaunt consensual sex with a man whose status could inject some life into a porn career in decline. And she's so out of her element on the set of even The View. Okay, now listen, everybody on that panel is worthless. Worthless. But she's still so out of her element. These hosts were trying to have a conversation with Stormy as if there was something that they can learn from her. And of course, she's promoting a book. She's promoting a book, and she's going on with that. And she's trying to make all these flippant remarks and She's trying to show her personality to the world. And you know what? You know what? The most they learned from her, she had to explain to Whoopi Goldberg what motorboating was when a guy goes and rubs his face into a pair of tits. Because that's what she was. She they well, now Stormy, you were arrested after doing a show. You know, and you know you're doing a show in Ohio. Blah blah blah. And she has to talk about well why she was arrested when she was taking her clothes off again. And she had to explain what motorboating was. I'm sure everybody in the office was like, "This is a great episode. I'm glad I came for this one." But they probably did because they're fucking stupid. Oh my God! So there you go. A cannabis dispensary worker uses a bong to fight off bandits. Good for him. Use whatever is around you, my man. I got only a couple of minutes until I got to call up Black Conservative Patriot. What am I going to do? What is this? If this is not a Norm MacDonald joke in a headline, tell me what is. Fox 4. Woman who wrote, quote, How to Murder Your Husband. Okay, a book. A romance author wrote a book, How to Murder Your Husband, has been arrested for allegedly murdering her husband. That's from Oregon. An Oregon-based romance author was arrested September 5th as a subject in the murder of her husband, Daniel Brophy. I guess she was a Brophy wife. Oh, God. Yeek. She looks like Phyllis from The Office, but like 30 years in the future. There you go. There you go. A walking Norm MacDonald joke. Not a joke for the husband. Feel horrible for him. But there's that. I also wanted to talk about this solar observatory in New Mexico closing as a geomagnetic storm looms. Very interesting stuff, but not too interesting. I have questions about it. Some people have made a big fuss about it, but it's only one observatory that was closed down, so I don't know. We'll talk about that later. I know I didn't explain that well at all. All right, and yeah, with that, we'll be right back because I'm up against the clock now. Hold on.
Tune in at your own enjoyment, because it is the best show since the beginning of time. It has technological advancements and a more sophisticated approach. But like every great awakening that has preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is a friend and truth is essential. You are now entering, quite frankly. Now take off your pants. And jacket.
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
We'll be right back.
You know, I don't know where I did not make that graphic, by the way. I found that on Tumblr, of all places. Well, not of all places. That's where you'd actually expect it. And that's actually where I found all of that text generator that I made all the Quite Frankly podcast generators. And when I saw that one, nobody's dick is that long. I was like, what the hell? I grabbed it immediately. I said, that's right up my alley. You see, the internet showcases the humor of people that I want to meet. It's allowed them to show their faces in very subtle ways, okay? People like me have to hide under rocks sometimes. But I'm coming out. This show has been like a... Well, all of this show and the last show combined has been like a 12-year coming out party. Take me for what I am. Okay, let's call up Black Conservative Patriot. I used up all of my linguini skills in the beginning of the show. I have no more ability to speak. Speaking of no more, no good. Let me see here. Where are we at? Let's give him the call. And joining us now live, a good friend of mine who's back again. Back again, the God of Thunder over there wearing his KISS shirt. What is going on, Black Conservative Patriot? It's great to have you back on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Frankie, baby. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you, and we see you great.
Okay, fantastic.
So listen, it's been a really interesting week, man. It's been an interesting week. You have been killing it on your channel. Growth has been great. Viewership has been great. But the topics, it all makes sense because the topics of conversation and your presentation of those topics have just been awesome. I mean, we can jump around a little bit. I'm sure we will. But how has the waning days of August into September, how would you grade them on the excitement level of 1 to 10?
I would grade them as 10. If you look at it as a final preview, if you will, the final trailer before the crap hits the fan. I think things are being really accelerated right now, Frank. I think that we're going to see – I'm really hoping, for instance, that Trump very shortly declassifies the FISA documents so we can see what we already know. But, you know, we'll have the evidence of things that we know. We'll have irrefutable evidence, hopefully linking way back up the chain, way into the White House, which we suspect and I know is the case. But hopefully that paper trail will show some of that as well.
Yeah, we have here. Well, let me see here. Washington Examiner had something up. Secret documents Republicans want Trump to declassify this week. Now, I'm starting to get the feeling that a number of things are going to be coming into play that don't actually make the declassification come this week, and maybe not even until middle of next week at the soonest. I think number one, he's definitely playing for damage factor. Maximum amount of damage. And number two, the next 3 to 4 days, maybe even a week, depending on how Hurricane Florence is going. It really is big. The whole country needs to concentrate on what is in these documents right here. Everybody needs this. But we have here more of the Carter Page FISA wiretap application that could be released. 20 more pages there. Gang of Eight documents. I have to look out into a little bit more of that. But the other one is, where is the other one? Oh, there was one other one that I was looking at, too. But either way, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking at this point, that we're probably going to have to wait at least a couple more days. But you have had a couple of videos that I watched right off the bat. Number one, the Godfather 2 video. Now, Godfather and Godfather 2 are huge movies as far as references for this show of explaining the world and explaining politics and backroom dealing and muscling people around. But I thought it was so great that you took the scene between Tom Hagen and Frank Pantangeli right there at the prison talking about the way that Roman traitors in the Roman Empire who were trying to go and have some kind of a plot against the emperor who were caught plotting. how they were given a chance to pretty much preserve their fortunes and leave their families something behind. And, of course, that all ties into your interpretation of what you believe may have happened with John McCain. You want to put that into a nutshell for people who have not seen it yet?
Yeah. First of all, I've got to say that if you're an American and you're over the age of 15, you should see The Godfather 1 and 2. And then if you really like those and you like the storyline, but you're also open up to torture, go ahead and watch Godfather 3 and watch Sophia absolutely kill the movie.
Oh, yes.
And then what she didn't actually destroy, Andy Garcia helped her demolish. I actually think that the third one, and I know this is on a tangent, actually has a very compelling storyline, and I love the ending of it, but just the casting really just it could have been a really good film.
You know what? Let's talk about episode 3 after you talk about McCain, because you bring up some things right there I want to expand on, definitely.
Okay. So the reason why I say that is because one of the most key scenes, or one of the most – I say key, but one of the most poignant things ever said in a movie is in The Godfather 1. And I played this for my wife. We had been married probably – my wife's from southern Mexico. So the first 3 years, I pretty had to indoctrinate her into American culture, give her big pieces of Americana pie, big fat slices.
Got it.
And so that included Godfather 1 and 2. And the scene where, Michael is telling Kay that he's going to be working for his father and that he's like any other powerful man. And she says, yeah, but, you know, he equates his father like a senator. And she says like, oh, but yeah, but, you know, senators don't have people killed. And he says, I can't remember the exact line, but don't be naive, Kay, or who's being naive.
Yes.
When I saw that as a kid, I don't know why, but my mom had me watch that as a kid, but I think it was on TV. But when I saw that again, probably about 17 or 18, when I really started to wake up, and I remember seeing it my freshman year in college at UC Berkeley, like everything just kind of clicked for me. And so I think the movie as a whole, and if you know about the mafia, you know, when I was living in Harlem on 113th and 3rd Avenue, right across the street on the corner, every single business there from the number hole all the way down to the liquor store at the end was owned by the same Italian family. So Jimmy was the guy of the block. We knew who he was. We knew that he was made or whatever, you know, cool cat, whatever. As a kid, morals aside, you just kind of respect those guys in the neighborhood. So, you know, I was kind of like, I wouldn't say I was savvy to these things, but I was kind of I'm aware of the culture. And so I think that what The Godfather does, it's a fiction movie, but there are so many, the movie's been analyzed a million times. And as I'm getting into McCain, one of the things that's key is, and for those that have seen the movie, I'm not going to really preface it, but let's just say that that Frankie tries to undermine. You know, Michael comes in; he's the new Don. He's coming in as a new Don to replace his dad, who's not in the picture, or you know, very ill, recovering from what I would say is a miraculous attack on his life. He tries to betray the family, and he's given an opportunity, and then he goes to court, and there's a whole scene. I don't want to get into it, but for those who haven't seen it, I just want to give you enough information. If you haven't seen it, you need to repent and go watch it.
Yes.
But he's a traitor. He's a traitor. That's the bottom line. He's a traitor to the code. Tom Hagen, who is the adopted brother of Michael, can't actually be a true Corleone because he's Irish. But he gives him a chance. He says, hey, look, and there's a great court scene. Once again, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm telling you, watch the movie. The court scene is one of the best nonverbal scenes in the movie. That's just brilliant. And so what I was just equating to in that video, and I hope is a very short video, and I hope it's very clear, is that the traitor, a huge traitor, but he was big, right? He was big. McCain was a hero. He had position and station. And what's unique about him is that a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, dumb Republicans that go by the establishment party lines and don't actually follow the policies, conservative policies and libertarian policies, and just like anyone who has an R next to their name, he's liked by the establishment Republicans and loved by the Democrats because he really secretly was a socialist Democrat. So he's get like McCain is a big guy, and just like Frankie Five Angels, he's given the chance to say, look, we could out you out publicly, shame you, ruin you and your family. But we're going to give you a chance to come clean. And here's what I think happened. And I'm not sure, but I think this is what happened. I think that McCain, see, he was high level. He worked with Obama to train and arm and work with ISIS. I put a video up on this showing YouTube hasn't liked it. They started to shadow ban it and they demonetized the video. But I invite people to watch it. I actually show instances, clips of John McCain saying that they knew who these ISIS guys are. They talk to him regularly. They know who they are. All right. So there's no, he knew who Baghdadi is. There's no, I didn't know. He says very clearly he knows who these people were. So he's a traitor of the highest order. But because of his power and position and other things, I think he just cut a deal. I think he gave tons of information to the White Hats, to the White House, I think there was some sort of military tribunal. Let's not forget that he was he's former military. He comes from. I think one of the reasons why he got a break is because his family is very, very. He's got a very strong military pedigree, if you will, and I think he just got a chance to go quietly into the night. And I don't think, I mean, symbolically, you know, I say, and I show in the video to alluding to him, you know, slitting his wrist in a warm blood. I don't think that's what it is. I think he probably got some sort of timed execution at 4:28, probably lethal injection or something else. But I believe that McCain cut a deal and was able to go and save face and save his family.
See,
I think he had to give up the goods first, though. I think he had to give up the goods first.
I've been hearing a lot of people have been on that kick right there and saying, especially with the timing of saying, oh, well, we're going to stop treatment one day, the next day is gone. And of course, now there's a little bit more out there that has been tied in to give this maybe a little bit more credence. And that is the very interesting exchange between Lindsey Graham and Brett Kavanaugh, talking about just going over very carefully about the precedent and the legal precedent in this country for bringing traitors, bringing people who are working against the interests of this country in on behalf of sworn enemies or ideological competitors and whatnot, and committing crimes against humanity, war crimes, whatever it is, and also bringing about and being very, very upfront for the first time, at least I know of, in recent – there's been a lot of talk on the internet, a lot of blogging, a lot of autists that are out there researching, and a lot of talk about military tribunals, a lot of talk about Guantanamo Bay and doing things outside of a civilian court system that is obviously saturated by ideological fellow travelers of these globalists. And for the first time ever – which is what really gave pause to people like me and obviously you, because that was the basis of another really amazing video of yours that you did, and that was the discussing in an open setting during these confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh about military tribunals and the legality of it all and how it's actually standing, and we're talking about belligerence and very interesting stuff there as far as the constitutionality of that all.
Yeah. And you know, I got to say, I know I'm over the target because that video was it had a little run and then boom. See what YouTube probably has figured out. You know, I've got a wife. I've got four kids. They're all old enough. They have their accounts and they go on my check on my videos and they actually search my videos. And sometimes they don't come up. That's a video they searched for that didn't come up. They got an ad on the video, yet YouTube demonetized that video after a few days. But why would you attack a video that I make that's just pointing out the obvious things that are being discussed in an open setting? This is a Senate hearing. This is not some backroom bootleg, Smith's last concert tape. You know, it's something that's legitimate and was on C-SPAN and everywhere else that it was getting coverage. So, you know, when they did that, and my dad actually just texted me a little while ago letting me know that, Reddit took down the QAnon board. So just all these things that just – like you say,
wait, the Great Awakening board is gone now?
Yep, it's gone as of a couple hours ago.
It has anything else been purged?
Well, no. Remember, they took out the Calm Before the Storm on Reddit, and then they just took down the QAnon Great Awakening. Yep, it's over on Reddit as of a couple hours ago.
Wow.
There's a Verge article on it. My dad, texted me. I'm like, no hell, I didn't know that. And I just, before, while I was watching the introduction to your show, I pulled it up, and sure enough, even The Verge is on it. So why would you silence? Why would you silence a conspiracy? And for those that don't believe in Q, that's fine. That's fine. Let's say Q is a LARP. There's a lot of good information in there, and there's a lot of good pointers for people that want to investigate for themselves what's really going on. So I think Q's a real deal, but for those that don't and think he's a LARP, fine. But go in and just look at where he's pointing or where they are pointing, because I believe it's a group of people. Look at where they're pointing, and they point at some very, very good stuff. So, yeah, it's coming down. And like you, when I saw Lindsey Graham, first of all, I was like, I almost fell out of my sleep, out of my seat, because first of all, it was Lindsey Graham, of all people, having this conversation with you know, Mr. Rhino himself, you know, John McCain's bed buddy. But, you know, that was, you know, amazing. And in light of what happened at the McCain funeral with him getting all friendly, smoochy with Uma Abedin. But
by the way, the McCain funeral feels like it's 5 years ago already. Five years ago.
Things are moving quickly.
Dude, it's like the media it focuses so intensely on one thing. They take everything they can and try to milk and destroy every little thing that they can, and they focus so intensely on it that you get so exhausted by the smallest of headlines, these things that they need to be able to link to the next thing to get hyperventilate about and wring their hands and go crazy. And it's like that was just 2 weeks ago. It feels like an eternity. Because they were trying to draw blood from a stone with that one. But as far as Lindsey Graham goes, I said at certain points during that confirmation hearing with Brett Kavanaugh, he looked like a liberated man. I did not believe it was Lindsey Graham. He was speaking and asking questions. He was bringing up, you know, this guy is a little bit different. His posture is a little bit different than it usually is. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but still, there's Amen. That. You know, but what was the other thing I wanted to say? Before I wanted to get to George Papadopoulos, there was something else, and now I forget it.
Well, while you're going through your mental bank there, I agree with you completely on Lindsey Graham. And once again, if you follow Q, he has talked about how the deep state cleansing that's happened, you know, that's happened below the surface that we've not been able to see, that has resulted in resignations and people not seeking re-election. I think he's used the word they've been liberated or set free. So I think there's some sort of timing between the death of McCain and the liberation of Lindsey Graham. So I think it's very interesting to see. And you're right, the news only focuses on one thing over and over and over again. They hammer on the same story over and over again. And that's why people come to your podcast, Frankie Baby, because, you know, not only are they going to get, you know, my opinion and your opinion on things of political nature, but they're also going to hear stories about bionic penises and Stormy Daniels.
Exactly.
So, you know, they're going to get and I don't know, hell, I don't know why it happens, you know. Every time you have me, Black Christian Patriot, on, you always start your show off with some interesting but borderline salacious story.
What was the last one? Wait, what was the last one? I think it was two times. It might have been two calls of yours ago. I forget what the story was, but it was something similar.
But it was.
Hey, listen, if it's in the news, this is the thing. We gotta
I'm not a prude. I'm a libertarian.
No, so. Listen, this is why we mesh so well, man. But you know, speaking on that, as far as everyone doing their act, the media is doing their one thing here, and I don't watch. I don't watch network television at all. So when I talk about the View today, you knew I was stuck in a room somewhere where I could not get out. I had to get this thing resolved at Cablevision. So I'm there talking to them, and this is on the wall. I had my back turned to it, and every time I hear something I couldn't stand, I'm shaking my head. I'm making little grunting noises with myself. I want to get out of there. But, you know, I'm looking at then once they go to commercial break. One commercial after another. Now, I know it's election time, but one commercial after another is just, we have to fight Trump. We have to fight Trump. Every last one, it's one political campaign after another, all of them fighting Trump. And I'm like, I can't believe people sit at home and watch this.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why this walk away movement is happening. And I want people to, I don't want people to be confused, because I see a lot of people getting confused. When people are walking away from the Democrat Party, it does not necessarily mean these people have become conservatives or Republican. Go watch those videos. I mean, I think it's great that they're walking away, and it's our job to, you know, kind of made it my mission. I think we've talked about this in the past. You know, let people get excited about the gospel of the U.S. Constitution and liberty and things like that. But that's one of the things that's driving a lot of people away. It's just the incentive. Any sane person, even if they are left of center, they have to be sitting back going, this is ridiculous. I mean, everything is anti-Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump. There's no message. There's no platform. There's no policies that they're pushing, except for crazy, crazy fascist and very left ideas of, you know, hate Trump, hate Trump, hate Trump, hate Trump, abolish ICE. Hate Trump, hate Trump, hate Trump. Abolish ICE. You know, it's just it's such a, like you say, they just harp on that one thing, Russian collusion. And anyone that's even people that are not libertarian, that are not conservative, that are going to be this side of left of center, but are in any way, shape or form logical or have any sort of brain matter between their two ears, has to be saying, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And that, I think that is hurting them more than anything. The people become unhinged. The projection that has happened over the last 18 to 20 months has been ridiculous. Everything they accuse Trump of being narcissistic, of being unhinged, of being violent, of being a fascist, of being mentally unstable, of being dangerous to this country, that all is exactly what's happening on the left. They've never been this dangerous.
No, definitely. And like I said before, like I said last night, it makes me wonder if the election doesn't go their way, and then they are staring down the barrel of the shotgun, because at that point there will be no way of stopping the investigations that are going on right now from reaching their rightful conclusions. There's going to be no way of stopping any kind of judicial appointments that they're trying to get a lid on right there. That's the one thing that I keep asking myself. You know, they might the most. It's only going to get worse if they lose again in November, because then there's going to be really nothing left. And like I said before, where this is not a situation where you have one group of people over here or multiple groups of people who are trying to make their best political argument and try to persuade voters to give them a try and all that stuff. It's not a matter of one group, you know, losing out and the normal ebbs and flows of American politics where, you know, we're running to one side of the boat and then the other, and it's a majority here, a majority there. This is totally different. Totally different, because the party that is trying to capture a majority right now is representing large swaths of the federal government that is trying so hard to keep its mask on right now. And the mask is falling off. It's like half of the Groucho Marx mask is hanging off the face. The fake nose is hanging off. You know, we're almost about to see the full picture right here. This is not about a normal election cycle where majorities ebb and flow. And, you know, aside from that, life goes on. There are people fighting for their very lives. That's the problem here. And if they lose, then I'm really interested to see what's going to happen then.
Yeah, and I don't know if my Kiss shirt was. Remember the Kiss Unmasked album?
Oh yes. Oh, that shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened.
But yeah, for those of us that know they're demons, when they pull off their masks, we're going to see them for what we've already known. But yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing, Frank. These pricks are so arrogant. They think they still got it. I mean, Kerry telling, Hugh Hewitt, and admitting, yeah, I've been talking to Iran 3 or 4 times.
Yep.
In direct violation of the Logan Act. And what's he scared of? I had to look it up. I'm like, okay, what's a violation of the Logan Act? From what I could see, it's $5,000 and up to 3 years in prison. When have we seen anyone go to prison, you know, in the public eye? You know, I believe there's some mission, there's some military tribunal work going on that we're not aware of yet. But these guys, you know, the deep state, the shadow government, these globalist types, they're not afraid. They're not afraid to threaten Trump publicly, and they're not afraid to negotiate with, you know, try to keep a bad deal going with Iran. And to, I mean, this takes crazy, crazy chutzpah. I mean, the cojones on these people like Kerry. They really, I mean, to say publicly, yeah, I've been violating the Logan Act.
And I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, George Papadopoulos was in the news again. And it's the first time I actually got to sit down and watch this man speak. And mm-hmm. I didn't have enough time to play the clip before you came on the air. I was thinking about I wanted to do it. But he was on Sean Hannity the other night with his wife.
I watched that segment. That was a good one. Yeah.
Now, and you know, you've been watching for a while. You've been a supporter of the show on Patreon for a while, too. You've been such a good friend to me. So I know that you know the conversations that we have. I have always asked this question. I do not know whether or not definitively people like George Papadopoulos are a patsy or a plant. All I do know is whether he is a patsy or a plant, it disproves the legitimacy of this entire narrative here because he was either put in there to plant some things and to be very, very conspicuously trying to book meetings with Russians and to call attention to himself, or he's just a dupe that was zeroed in on by people who thought they could be made an example of, fed to people like Joseph Mifsud, who is now missing off the face of the earth, being told things
Is that true, by the way? I read that, but is it true that we don't know where he's at?
He's actually presumed dead at this point.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Thanks, yeah.
I just read that last night. Just read that last night. He's been presumed dead. This is the guy who played his part in this entire story by merely telling George Papadopoulos, "Hey, the Russians may have dirt on Hillary Clinton." What that dirt is, nobody knows. He didn't even say it was anything to do with emails. It most probably had something to do with the fact that Russia and everybody else had access to her home server. You know. So either way, he tells Papadopoulos this. Then he goes off to Alexander Downer, and I'm listening to this conversation he had with Hannity, and it was very interesting because for the first time I'm looking at him and I'm reading his body language and I'm listening to what he's saying, and I'm saying to myself, this guy I think he might be a patsy. I think that he really was caught up in something much bigger than himself. And I know that Hannity said that at the end. That's probably his opinion, too. But all we had from this guy was a couple of really bad still photos of him walking in the street. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy looks like a scumbag. You know. But now the first time I'm listening to him, I'm like, this, I don't know. And not for nothing. But Papadopoulos, General Michael Flynn, Carter Page, they were all set up for the sake of an executive agency coup d'etat cover story. Okay, the coup d'etat was going on. The cover story, though, needed some kind of validation. And here you go, General Michael Flynn. There you go, George Papadopoulos. A couple of them were lying. And, of course, it all had to do something about Trump. So, of course, it had to be doing something about Russia and suspicion, 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 and there you go. But now you have this. Especially Michael Flynn. This guy was slandered and set up to make it seem like there was some sort of a back-channel orchestration going on with Russia. And here we have John Kerry. Okay, here we have John Kerry. They go after, they take down Michael Flynn and his resume and all the years he spent serving the country. And here is the Free Beacon. Listen to this. Just a couple of paragraphs. Former Secretary of State John Kerry disclosed that he had been conducting rogue diplomacy with top Iranian officials to salvage the landmark nuclear deal and push the Islamic Republic to negotiate its contested missile program, according to recent remarks. Kerry, in an interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt, to promote his new book, they all have books now, said that he had met with Iranian former minister Javad Zarif, former secretary's one-time negotiating partner, three or four times in recent months behind the Trump administration's back. Three or four times in recent months. Yeah. You know, and this is, of course, a deal that he probably had. I won't go making accusations, but if anybody was going to get a kickback, he would be one of those people to get kickbacks for making that deal go through. So, I mean, you think about what is trending and what is being reported on, and here you go. They destroyed General Flynn. They destroyed these little people, Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. And here's your I just don't get it.
It's funny that you, man, we're two peas in a pod, Frankie, baby, because when I was watching Papadopoulos, I was actually surprised. I thought his wife had a bigger pair than he did. The guy just really came off, sorry for the crude folks, but he came off a little bit soy boyish to me. He came off like not the character that I expected, not the demeanor, not the I'd love to see one of those videos that people do on YouTube of body language analysis. I know a lot of the times people are full of crap when they do those, but they sometimes bring in some interesting points. The guy just – I don't know, and I'm like you. I don't know if he's a patsy or if he was a plant, but if he was a plant, he was a patsy they planted, because this guy just came off as lost in the woods, looked like a new kid on the block just trying to make a name for himself and just fell for an opportunity, an opportunity to please the boss. If anything, but no collusion, no coordination, now we have us, we have him now supposedly dead, so he can't testify, he can't tell us what happened, but then again, I'm hoping maybe I'm being let me say I'm cautiously optimistic. Maybe I'm hoping, really, that maybe the white hats got him, they're protecting him in the meantime, and getting information out of him, so. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yet all of these facts are happening, pointing to Hillary Rodham Clinton, the DNC, the FBI, the Department of Justice under Obama, and we hear nothing about it, and they're still with the Russian collusion crap on Trump. And I just ask, once again, I try to appeal to people's logic and sense of just being looking at things in perspective. What has Trump done? Not what has he said, not what they've accused him of, but tell me one thing he's done that would lead you to believe that it benefits Russia. How does American nationalism, how does that help Russia? How does having a strong immigration policy, how does that help Russia? How does tariffs help Russia? How does telling Germany, hey, you made a pony up here in NATO because we're protecting your hiney from the Russian front, yet you're buying your energy from the enemy. What's with that? How does that benefit Russia?
If you want those questions answered, you would have to go under the premise of every time a question is answered, you'd have to forget that the last question you asked was answered prior, because as you go on and every question that is answered, at least most of the answers are going to contradict another stance that was taken just moments before, because it doesn't make any sense, because this is all just about getting to the next. Now, for the person at the bottom of the pyramid that is eating all this up and really doesn't know any better, they are just really they don't know what's at stake, because they don't really stand to gain anything. There are people who stand to gain something. This is all about political power. It always has been about accruing political power. Absolutely. Because if you were looking for consistency, I mean, consistency wouldn't be this hard. But they stay consistently inconsistent because it doesn't matter. It's about by whatever means necessary, say whatever you have to say, get onto the finish line. And that's what this is about. There is no end to the Russian thing, because all they needed to do was to get this to the midterms. If Robert Mueller came out tomorrow and said, we have concluded there is absolutely no ties between Russia and the Trump administration, no ties. None. Do you hear me? No ties, not whatsoever. That would not stop anybody from saying, yeah, bullshit. We've seen the writing on the wall. It's all there. It's already done. So we just need to be able to move on and ignore the rabble, because that's what it is. You can't placate to children in the middle of a tantrum and a meltdown. You just have to try to do your best to put some kind of sense out there, and then you got to move on. Because the one thing I always say is, what you and I want is whatever we have proposed usually tends to leave us alone to make our own decisions, and to leave people around us who want to live their lives in whatever way they want to live to make their own decisions as well. And when it comes to the point where we're talking about a crime that's been committed, an act of violence, a theft, anything like that, there is nothing to debate about. A crime is a crime. It doesn't matter what who you love and who you're married to, what your skin color is. On the other side of the aisle, though, what they want, we are required to pay for. We are required to tailor our personal behavior. We are required to do everything to fall in line with the stencil the stencil idea of what the, how they wanted to make the world. That's what it always comes down to. What are the both sides asking for? This side wants freedom, and that side wants compliance. I'm going with freedom. You know, that's just what it is.
Absolutely. And let me just say something. I mean, I don't know how – I know a lot of – we have a lot of the same subscribers on both channels, you know, on your channel, my channel. But for those that don't know, I loathe – and I don't think I've mentioned this in a while. I loathe the idea of hate crimes because that is not equality. That is saying that because someone is a victim, the victim's a person of color, that makes their life worth more than – a white male, and that's just a ridiculous notion to me. We're all God's children. So I know you didn't really touch on that, but I think you touched on that. You know, hate crimes are terrible, and hate speech is a fallacy. Anyway, that's a total aside, but I want to be on the record that those are two things that I absolutely abhor. And I agree with everything you've said, Frank, to the point where I lost my train of thought.
That's listen, both of us now. I agree with you there too, though, man. And that's why when it comes down to this, especially you were talking about liberals before and how the walkaway movement is not so much about people leaving the Democrat Party and finding conservatism or finding, God forbid, the Republican Party. You know, like what the hell, what are we doing there? So, but the real thing about this is, we're identifying bad behavior, and I've been told before that, you know, well, Frank, you maybe you tone it down a little bit. You get too angry, and I think that you're not convincing people to see things your way when you get so angry. But one thing I try to say, and I try to get through in some way, is that this is not liberalism. Okay, first of all, liberalism was hijacked. The term has been hijacked so long, I don't even want to reclaim liberalism anymore. It just needs to be burned at the stake. It's done. It is completely done. It's got to be buried. It's over with. It's been completely ruined. But the problem here is that people need to understand, number one, liberalism is not what you think it is. So I don't care if I go call people liberals crazy, because it's not like I'm saying, oh, well, wow, you're crazy for wanting people to be free and, you know, on equal footing with opportunities and that like that. It's lost its meaning. It's just it's a stupid, empty shell of a word. But what it has been
attached.
Yeah, exactly. It's been attached. It's an inverted word. Okay, the meaning has nothing to do with it. It's the exact opposite. It represents the most illiberal group of people that you can fathom. And then, of course, on top of it is you're talking about behavior, and people that are in the walkaway movement are acknowledging that bad behavior. And if they're acknowledging that bad behavior and it has repulsed them, then they know that it's something that they should not be associated with. And if they still think in their hearts that they are liberal, then maybe that's the opening of the door to realize what liberalism used to be, what classical liberalism used to be, and being able to draw the lines of progressivism and liberalism. And that's a big thing right there, man. So I know it's the job of you and I and everybody else out there to try to not only break down that wall and open up the conversation, but to actually provide a good reason for people to consider something differently. It's so multifaceted. It's like we're in – it's like an inception or something like that. We're in a dream inside of a dream.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm waiting for the fall off that bridge and what is it, the hit or whatever that wakes you up.
The water,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. And it's funny that you said something very interesting, Frank, is that that some people are saying, oh, you tone it down. No. We're just not tone it. This is not time to tone it down. Honestly, our nation is at stake. The future of our children is at stake. I don't want my children to grow up under, you know, a despotic government, authoritarian government. I want them that, you know, to America that's been hijacked by true fascists. I don't want that for my kids. Look. I mean, my wife asked me, she says this once a month. She's like, baby, actually, she says, mijo o mi amor sounds so much better than baby.
Oh, yeah.
But she says, tranquilo, cálmate. You know, she's like, she's always asked me why I'm like so into this thing. Because, you know, I don't make any money. It's just, she sees it. I mean, she supports me, don't get me wrong. But it's almost like, you know, like that like a hobby type of thing. She says, you know, we have a good life. Things are going well. Like, why do you get stressed out about these things? And, you know, my wife comes from Mexico. She's used to, like, PRI and, you know, and that government corruption. She knows what it is, but it's been in place for so long that people have – I had a conversation with someone in her family about this, that they said, why do you oppose Hillary so much? I go, because I don't want it to be like Mexico or Nicaragua or El Salvador. These are all countries that I've lived and worked in. Okay, so I don't want it to be like that. And they said, well, if it's going to be like that, it's going to be like that eventually anyway. People have been so apathetic to being under the thumb of these maniacal narcissists that want complete power over everything. But I say no to that. And you cannot project that position, the libertarian position that you and I have, by speaking like this and being a soy boy and being so careful not to ruffle people's feathers. If you want that, watch something else. But if you want, like, the real deal, you want people like you and I who work for a living, that have families, that have our future generations on the line, it's going to happen from us impassioned people. And this is an example of capitalism for me. If people don't like our brand of passionate Americana, there's plenty of stale, boring people. You know, there's
plenty of nihilists out there. Plenty of nihilists and defeatists.
Those are a dime a dozen. But as far as like libertarian voices, you know, there's other black conservatives out there, and I've watched their channels, and most of them, they don't resonate with me. And people go like, oh, you know, this black. No, it's not a color thing for me. It's a passion thing for me. So there are some black conservatives that are very passionate like me and compassionate. There's you. There's other ones. That's right. That's the wavelength, you know, for those that, you know, believe in vibrational states. That's the frequency I vibrate on. If someone is not going to agree with you, they're going to get the truth, if they're looking for it, from some other source that resonates with them. But Frank, baby, don't stop what you're doing, because what you're doing is a great job, and I'm proud to be a one of your patrons.
Hey, well, listen, I'm happy that we're colleagues, man. I've been having a lot of fun having you on the show, and it's too bad we're separated by thousands of miles, but we'll figure that out one day.
My man, I'm usually over there, just so you know. I'm usually over there like once a year.
Holidays?
No, it's usually just like, I found a cheap flight. Let's go for like 4 or 5 days, or something like that, or my grandma's 90th birthday party, or you know, I took the kids one time. We did the whole East Coast. We went to, you know, we saw Statue of Liberty, and we went to the top of the Empire State Building, and then we went to Gettysburg and D.C. and see the Liberty Bell. I took them on my two oldest kids. Well, all my kids at that time were homeschooled, so I'm like, hell, why reading a book? Let's just go see it. So we jumped on a plane and saw it. So, you know, that's, you know, everyone, people do different things with their money. I like to buy experiences, not things, personally. So I do make it out there. Generally, I didn't make it out in 2000. I didn't make it out this year. I was there last year, but I didn't know you last year. So,
hey, if you swing by for the holidays, man, let me know.
Well, it won't be for the holidays, but it may be in spring. So,
all right. My birthday then, April 2nd.
All right, I'll make note of it, baby.
All right, dude. Listen, thank you so much. This was awesome. We spent more time than I thought, and this is I'm grateful for that. I'll definitely speak to you after the show. For those in the audience that don't know how to have not heard of you before, let them know where they can find you.
Just go to just search for me, Black Conservative Patriot, on YouTube. That's the best way to find me, or Black_C_Patriot on Twitter. But I'm my time is very limited, as you know. I think I communicate to you and to some people. Just I've got a new work project. I've got a new employer I'm working on, working with, setting up a new branch and all kinds of stuff. So I'm very, very busy. So I'm putting almost all my focus right now on my YouTube channel. I have a second channel as well. Just go to my first channel. Go to any other channel, and in the description of any video, it'll link you to the other one. Make sure you subscribe to both of them. My channel 2 is more of a vlog when I'm driving, when I've got some free form presentation, or more of a stream of consciousness. I'll put that on my channel 2, and then the more edited videos that takes time to make, those will be on more of an analysis, will be on my main channel. And then, you know, you can get me on Twitter as well. But if you want to find me right now, until I start promoting my book and other things, YouTube is where I'm at.
Excellent, man. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, be well. Yeah, well, that's a good one, man. That is a good one. I knew it would be good tonight. So many big things. And you want to talk about the media. the what's really been going on. The Papadopoulos thing we have to watch, so maybe we watch a little bit of that tomorrow just so we can all check that out together. But the John McCain thing, the Godfather 2, very interesting. Very interesting, Godfather 2. Frank Pantangeli is an interesting character. I love him. Now, at this point, Frank, Tom Hagen, what he was talking about, Tom Hagen is at prison with Frank, who had turned against Michael. We're going to go on a really quick break here. I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to play the thank you video. Here's the quick thank you for tonight. Thank you, everybody that's watching on all the live platforms. Please share it. Keep sharing it. We are only relevant and gaining relevance because of you guys and gals. Every retweet that you give us, every like, every comment, every person that you suggested to, it all adds up, and I'm very grateful for it all. And for those of you who want to go beyond that and engage in some more free market capitalism, if you like this show and you want to see it go bigger places, better places, farther, and flooding the internet with even more stuff that you love. I know that the two-hour show or the 90-minute on average show is something that is hard for even the diehards out there to keep up with in its entirety. This is why hitting the next goal on Patreon is so important. Because once I have enough funding to get somebody on that concentrates on cutting up the shows to find the most poignant parts, the most informative parts, the funniest parts, all that stuff to start spreading the, quite frankly, Americana culture, then that is going to change shit big time for this channel. You know, it's a reason. I know it's a reason why. It's one of the reasons why it's hard for this channel to grow, because I go live. Yeah, I put up a video every day, but they're 2 hours, and there's usually a mix of topics in there, and I title them all like they're chapter headings. You know, I know what I'm doing, but either way, look what we've done in spite of that all. That's why I know when we get to the next level, and every tier I have worked out is on patreon.com/ quite frankly. So you know where the money is going, and you know how you are helping us. And you know what? With the people out there, it only takes a dollar a month, four quarters, that's it, a quarter a week, $12 a year. If enough of you do that, we're good. We're golden. But guess what? There's other things on there. You can get Polaroids from me every month. Awkward, weird Polaroids, okay? I take the pictures myself, and we send them off. And now the holidays are coming, so I'll be cozying up to the tree. I'll showing you some ass. Then, of course, there's letter writing. There's still some letter writing openings in there, too, so we can be pen pals. So many great things on Patreon. You can make your own station ID for the show. Check it out. And aside from that, thank you all so much. Wait. I didn't see anything. I didn't open up the Super Chat. That is my fault. Let me see if there's something there. Amy Durden, $9.99. Amy, thank you so much for the support tonight. The Super Chats are the reason why we have a new broadcast computer going into the music room. Everything you guys and gals do, I turn it in and reinvest in this show. That's it. So other than that, thank you to our military and thank you to our first responders. Love y'all. Be well. We will be right back. So just like I said, and everything, for everything else, quite frankly, podcast.com. That's where all the information, the blogs, the Twitch embed, all that. There's great people over there right now. There's a lot of great people watching on Periscope right now. Look at that. Look at that. About 23 people watching, diddling their Skittles on Periscope. But aside from that, now a little bit more on this. Talking about John McCain and what Black Conservative Patriot was thinking. Either way, you have Frank Pantangeli here, who went to court to testify against Michael Corleone, Al Pacino. Because, I mean, in context of the movie, Al Pacino, he thought that Al Pacino had sanctioned a hit on him. And that's when he started going spilling the beans. But it wasn't. Either way, in the last second in court, Frank Pantangeli decides not to testify and says that all the accusations he made up against Michael Corleone were just bullshit. So that's it. Now he's in the prison, and he knows his life is pretty much over one way or another. And Tom Hagen goes to visit Frank in prison afterwards, and they're having a veiled conversation about each other, and they're talking about history, they're talking about the Roman Empire, comparing their crime families to Rome and all that stuff, and especially when traitors to the emperor would be caught trying to pull a fast one and to commit treason, and what kind of options they had. Well, I'm going to play that for you right now, and then we're going to go right into the thank you video. We will be right back.
When a plot against the emperor failed, plotters were always given a chance to let the families keep their fortunes.
Yeah, but only the rich guys, Tom. The little guys, they got knocked off, and all their estates went to the emperors. Unless they went home and they killed themselves, then nothing happened. And their families were taken care of, Tom.
That was a good break. Nice deal.
Yeah. They went home and sat in a hot bath, opened up their veins, and bled to death. And sometimes they had a little party before they did it.
Welcome to intermission. Yeah. Intermission. Yeah, intermission. Yeah, intermission.
Bagel smearer. Listen to this.
Again in LA. I'm going to ask you about that in 1 second, but the breaking news that we just had moments ago, job numbers the lowest in anybody's memory, 3.9% unemployment rate. It's been 15 months. Do you give him credit for that 9% unemployment rate?
I'm Moonlit Matt, and you're watching Quite Frankly. Remember to take those pants off and to pause the show before you call in. I swear to God.
Listen to this. Sex diseases in the U.S. surged to record high. Why on earth would that be happening? Tinder. You know, I think that it's really unfair to call them sexually transmitted diseases. All right. So, everybody, that's it. A little bit of a short show tonight. I know it was a little bit disjointed. I couldn't stretch my legs like I usually do. But you know the one thing that I can always promise you is I'll be back. Famous last words. I promise you I'll be back. And we'll have so much fun. You and I dancing through the Elysian fields with the sun on our face. Got to talk about Google tomorrow. The silent donation made by Google to try to get Latino voters out there. And guess what? Nope. 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 Because you know why? Michael Savage puts it the best when he talks about the Latino vote. And when you give them a choice between Hillary Clinton, a nagging harridan, and a macho man. It's a macho culture, he says. I believe it. Yes, I see it. But we have to talk about that. We have to talk about the National Solar Observatory mysteriously closed as a geomagnetic storm looms. Got to talk about that tomorrow a little bit. Got some stuff here. And Adam Bosworth just put $5 in the Super Chat. Said, great show tonight. Vote Larry Sharp. New York gubernatorial 2018. Adam, I'm going to get Larry on the show soon. Talk about synchronicity. I have a friend of mine who was actually a part of the Libertarian Party here in New York. He got in touch with me on Facebook last night. I didn't even reach out to him. He said, hey, man, you want Larry Sharp on your show? I said, yeah. Yes. Yes, I do. So I'm working on that, and Joe Cardullo is coming back on the 25th. The 25th. So I'm going to help out the local area as much as I can. I don't know what that says. But everybody have a great night. Thank you so much. Love you all. Be well. Get to the website. And please tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody tomorrow we're back on at 7 o'clock. And you need to be here. You need to. You need to. Please don't make me stop now. Please. That's it. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much, Black Conservative Patriot, for coming on. And thank you, Stormy Daniels, for giving me something to laugh at. You are a joke.
I'll catch you on the flip side.
Quite frankly, it's filmed before a live studio audience. And now our super chatters, Amy Durden and Adam Bosworth. Thank you, you two. I love you both. Thank you so much. See you tomorrow night. Oh, and thank you, New Cavalry, charging toward truth. Great interview with BCP. Thank you, New Cavalry.